Voice of Literacy, where literacy researchers, teachers, principals, parents, and policymakers share and discuss how literacy research informs practice. Join the biweekly podcast and discussion forums. My name is Dr. Betsy Baker, Professor of Literacy Studies at the University of Missouri.
This week we hear from Dr. Diana Leva, postdoctoral fellow at Harvard Graduate School of Education. She does research involving mothers' book reading and reminiscing and how these impact preschoolers' phonological awareness. Welcome, Dr. Leva.
Hi, thank you for having me.
We're glad to have you with us. Tell us about yourself and how you got interested in phonological awareness, mother's book reading, and mother's reminiscing.
Sure. So I came to the U.S. 9 years ago. I was born and raised in Colombia, and I came here to do my PhD in developmental psychology, and I've been affiliated to Harvard for the past 5 years, and I'm also project director of Un Buen Comienzo, which stands for A Good Start. This is a project that Harvard has in Chile. We work with teachers. This is pre-K and K teachers. And basically, we train them to read books to children and to talk in elaborative ways. So you can see the connections there between what I'm doing in Chile and what I do here in the U.S.
Okay.
Yeah. And in terms of how I got interested in this topic, so I've seen a great push for book reading in the U.S. and in many other countries around the world, and rightfully. You know, there are many studies showing how book reading really helps children's language and literacy. So when you read books to children at home, you have children who have better vocabulary, expressive and receptive vocabulary. You have children with better print skills, with better story comprehension skills, with better narrative skills. So we know that book reading is really good for children. But we also know that there are many parents who don't read books to their children. And or they might report that they want to, that they wish they could, but they actually don't do it. And this is a big problem. And so they don't do it. They don't read books to their children. It's not because they're lazy, but it's, well, there are many reasons. So one of them is because children are not interested in reading books. So they don't get engaged in that. So it's hard for parents to keep them, you know, to keep them an interest in the book reading. Another reason is that parents don't feel comfortable reading books to their children. Maybe because they don't enjoy reading books. Maybe because they don't have the literacy level to read books with children. Maybe because they don't have the language skills. So if they are immigrant parents, maybe they don't feel very comfortable reading in English to their kids. Or maybe because they just don't have the resources, or they don't have good books at home, or they don't have that many books at home. So then the question is, what do we do with these parents? They want to help their children, they want to support their children's language and literacy, but they don't read books. So what else can we do? And so another way to help children's language and literacy is through reminiscing. And reminiscing is actually just having conversations with children around past events. So, for example, when we talk with children, what did you do yesterday? What did you do at school today? Or what did you do when you had a sleepover at your grandma's? So all these kinds of conversations are conversations about past events. And we know from the literature that parents who have these kind of conversations with children are also supporting children's language and literacy. So there are many other ways besides book reading in which we can help children's language and literacy, and that's exactly what I'm working on.
That's wonderful. Now, your article is also about phonological awareness. What is that?
So phonological awareness is a skill that is very important for children's children to learn how to read. And it's basically the ability to discriminate sound units in speech. So in other words, to make it clear for you, it's the ability to understand that words are made up of sound units. So let's say when we say hot dog is a word, but it's also two units, hot and dog. And you can even discriminate it more. So from hot, you can say that it has the h and the ot. So so it's the ability, it's basically the ability to discriminate sounds in the speech. And there are two skills related to phonological awareness. So one is the ability to blend sound. So let's say that I tell children, if you have hot and you have dog and you put it together, what do you get? And then they will say, oh, I get hot dog.
Mm-hmm.
So this ability to sound, to blend sounds, but also the ability to, this we call it elision, but it's really the ability to discriminate them. So I tell them, if you have Batman, and I take out bat from Batman, what mm-hmm. do I get? And they have to say man.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the two abilities that children that are related to phonological awareness.
Yeah. Now, in your study, you found that the quality of reminiscing, not the quality of book reading, predicted preschoolers' phonological awareness. Did that surprise you?
That surprised me, yes, of course. And for the same reason that I was telling you before, because there's this big push to read books, so we know that reading books is really good. But when I looked at actually the questions that parents ask when they were engaged in book reading versus the questions that they ask when they were engaged in conversations about past events,
mm-hmm.
I found that it's really these open-ended questions that parents mm-hmm. use in the conversations but not in the book reading, the ones that were related to children's phonological awareness.
Hmm. And phonological awareness is really an auditory skill. It's whether or not they can hear things. Is that right?
Yes, it's related to sound processing.
So you're not saying there's little value in book reading, but that kids who maybe aren't getting book reading can learn a lot of phonological awareness through this reminiscing.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah. So the idea is not to say that book reading is not good or you should be doing other things. So
right.
Definitely we know that book reading is important, and as I said before, you know, it really helps to with children's vocabulary, narrative skills, story comprehension. So that's great.
Yeah.
But what I'm really concerned is that we know that some parents are not doing that. And
mm-hmm.
so we need to find other ways to help parents support their children's language and literacy. And one of these ways is reminiscing.
Yeah. So now that you've done this study, what would you tell teachers?
So I will tell teachers, I think I would say the same thing to teachers and parents, because
okay.
one thing that we need to do is to have, things that, you know, the kind of activities that are doing in the classroom, if we do the kind of activities at home too, if there's like a relation between what we do in school and what we do at home, it's better for children. So I would say the same thing for teachers and parents. And this is that they should, if they have the opportunity, talk with children in an elaborative way. And talking in an elaborative way means increase the number of open-ended questions, which are the questions that I found that were related to children's phonological awareness. So questions like who, where, when, how, when, all these kind of questions are open-ended questions because they don't have the answer contained. So let's say instead of saying, did you go to the park? If you ask the child,
uh-huh.
where did you go?
Mm.
So then you're not telling the child the location, right? When you said, did you go to the park? You know, the child can only say yes or no. But you're already telling the child the answer.
Mm-hmm.
But if you say, where did you go? So the child has to do an effort to think, okay, where was I yesterday? Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. that's called the park. And I have to come up mm-hmm. with that concept and that word. So that's what helps children. If you are asking open-ended questions rather than closed-ended questions, which would be, did you go? Did you do that? Are you sad? You know, all those kind of questions are yes-no questions or closed-ended questions that are not as good as the open-ended questions. Now, of course, when we have a conversation, a typical conversation, we use a combination of closed-ended and open-ended. So
mm-hmm.
it's not that you cannot use, you know, closed-ended and you have to stick only to open-ended.
Right.
The idea is that to use a mix, but always to remember to increase the number of open-ended questions that you use when you talk with children.
Now, your study talks about preschoolers. What's that age bracket?
So that is from 3 to 5.
Okay.
That's exactly.
So I wasn't quite sure if we were talking about 2-year-olds or not here. So,
no.
Okay.
No, we haven't done this work with younger kids.
Yeah. What would you tell principals?
I will tell principals to encourage teachers.
Mm-hmm.
If the teachers have the initiative to to do activities that are not related to book reading, but for example, that are related to reminiscing or conversations or emergent writing, mm-hmm. I would tell principals to support teachers. Mm-hmm. So although we know, again, that book reading is important, if teachers are interested in looking for other ways or other activities to help support children's language and literacy, it could be, you know, activities around conversations or activities around emergent writing or other kinds of activities, they should really support these kind of initiatives because they are also important.
So does this help us give value to the good old show and tell, give kids a chance to stand up and basically they're reminiscing, right?
Exactly, yes. That's, for example, a great example of the ways in which teachers could include during the day, during the lesson plan of the day, you know, activities that are related to reminiscing and that will help children to develop their phonological awareness, but also their narrative skills. And, you know, there are many other language skills that they can develop through talking about past events.
Yeah. What would you tell policymakers?
I think it goes along the same lines of the book reading. So we know that book reading is important. And there are many policies right now in place related to book reading, and that's great. But I think what we need to remember is that book reading is good, but it's not the only way to help children's language and literacy. Mm-hmm. So there are not right now any policies related to other kind of activities or other kind of ways in which we can help children's literacy and language. So for example, programs, we don't have that many programs that are focused on training teachers to talk with children in elaborative ways, or mm-hmm. parents, or training parents to talk in elaborative ways with children. And so it would be great to have that, those kind of programs, or programs combining book reading this kind of talk. So it's not that we shouldn't do book reading, but maybe if we combine this with other strategies, mm-hmm. it would be, you know, more effective, and we would see better results in children's language and literacy.
So where are you going with this next? What do we still need to learn about phonological awareness and reminiscing?
That's a great question. So I think the next step after this is to conduct a study that is more intervention. So far what I've done is that what we call a correlational study. So we went to their homes and we make observations, and we see that when parents are using more of these open-ended questions in conversations about past events, children have better phonological awareness. But the next step in research, typically when you see these relations in a correlational or in a more observational study, mm-hmm. then what you need to do is to make sure that these relations are there. And the way that you do it is that you conduct an intervention study where we have two groups of parents, with the same characteristics, the same socioeconomics, you know, the same demographic variables, mm-hmm. but one group will be trained in this elaborative way of talking to their children about past events, and the other group doesn't get that training. Mm-hmm. And then if we compare these two groups, we should see that parents of children who got this training should have better phonological awareness. And this is like the test, the reality test. This test will really help us to determine that there's a causal relationship between what parents do and what children do. So far we don't have that causal relation, and we need to do this kind of more experimental study or intervention study in order to make sure that there is a causal relation there.
We'll be interested in seeing those reports.
Yes, yeah, for sure.
Dr. Diana Leva from Harvard University, we thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
You can find Dr. Leva's research in the Journal of Literacy Research, Volume 44, Issue 4. Stay current with literacy research. Go to iTunes, Facebook, or Twitter and search for Voice of Literacy. Or go directly to our website, www.voiceofliteracy.org, where you can find a link to this article and additional work done by Dr. Leva. This season, we invite you to rate our podcast on iTunes. 800 people have rated Grammar Girl. We want 801. The more of you who rate the Voice of Literacy, the more likely others will find us. Help us spread the word about literacy research and how it informs practice. This is the Voice of Literacy.